Over the last few months, you have heard me say that we must support the nation of Israel and we must pray for the nation of Israel. And the question is why? Why, as we as a church body, why we as a nation, and why we as Christians, should we support the nation of Israel and pray for the nation of Israel? And I hope to be able to answer some of those questions today. We won't be able to get as far as I would like to with this lesson today or this sermon today. It's kind of a historical nature as well, but come back next week and we're going to finish up on it. The sermon title today is The Right Side of God. It is important that we stand on the right side of history, but there is something that is even more important than that, and that is that we stand on the right side of God. Through Christ, the living Word of God, we place ourselves on the right side of God. We position ourselves as a nation and as a people to be blessed by God. On October 7th, 2023, the nation of Israel was attacked by Hamas. You have heard countries, you have heard college campuses, you have seen protests on TV, you have seen people marching and chanting from the river to the sea. What does this mean, from the river to the sea? People will say, well, we just want to see a free Palestine. We want to see a free Palestinian people. But that is very, very deceptive to the actual truth of what that means. The truth is this: from the Jordan River to the Mediterranean Sea, they want the Jewish people to be exterminated and wiped off the face of the earth. That's what people want. The hate for the Jewish people is a hate that is driven by Satan to destroy, to eliminate the Jewish people. Whether it be Hitler or the terrorist groups of Hamas, Hezbollah, or ISIS, or the Arab countries, it is a hate that is fueled by Satan. So the first question is why? Why should we support Israel, and why should we pray for the nation of Israel? Is it because they have done everything right? Is it because that over there right now that they are doing everything right in consideration of the Palestinian people? And the answer is no, that is not the reason why. The reason why is because our God is a covenant-keeping God. If Satan can prove that God breaks his covenant with the nation of Israel and the Jewish people, then where do you and I stand in our covenant relationship with God through Christ today? If he breaks that covenant, will he also break this covenant? If we can't trust God over here, how can we trust God over here? It is impossible for God to lie as we look into Scripture today, or as we will look at that Scripture. It is impossible. God's Word, he will stand on it. It is the truth, and he will not move from the truth of God's Word. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. We're just going to go there very briefly. And usually on Communion Sunday, we always turn to this Scripture. But there's something here that maybe you have not recognized before, or maybe we've talked about it, but we're going to bring your attention back to it today. So 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 23. In verse 23 it says, "For I received from the Lord, for which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes.'" But when you back up and you look at verse 25 again, it says, "In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying," what? "This cup is the new covenant in my blood." Amen. This is a covenant relationship between you and your Heavenly Father when you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. What is this new covenant that you and I have with God? That if you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that you will have eternal life and you can take it to the bank. People will say, well, God's covenant with Israel was broken by the people. And I think it's very important to look at this scripture, because there will be people that will say, well, that covenant is null and void because the people broke their covenant relationship with God. So that original covenant with Abraham was broken, and that is a lie from Satan. That usually point us to a scripture. We're going to go to it. Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 11. I think we looked at this in CE this morning. Deuteronomy in chapter 11. In Deuteronomy in chapter 11, and we're going to read verses 26 through 28. So Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 26. And he says, behold, I set before you today a blessing and a curse. The blessing, if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you today, and the curse, if you do not obey the commandments of the Lord your God, but turn aside from the way which I command you today to go after other gods which you have not known. This covenant that we are talking here was during the time of Moses, and this was a covenant relationship between God and the people, and it was dependent on the people. It was dependent on the people's actions, and it was dependent upon their response. Has the nation of Israel always done what they're supposed to do? And the answer is, of course not. But their actions will never negate or eliminate the original Abrahamic covenant. Why? Because the Abrahamic covenant was a promise that was made by God. It was a covenant that he was the sole owner of, not dependent on by anyone else, but only God himself. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6. In Hebrews chapter 6, we go down to verse 13. In Hebrews 6, verse 13. And listen to the words. When God made a promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no one greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely blessings I will bless you, and multiplying I will multiply you. And so after he had patiently endured, he attained the promise. For men indeed swear by the greater, an oath for confirmation is made for them at the end of all dispute. Thus God, determined to show more abundantly to the heirs of the promise the immutability, the unchanging ability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay of the hope set before us. This hope we have an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, in which he enters the presence behind the veil. Now verse 13, we'll read it again. For when God made a promise to Abraham, because he swore by no one greater, he swore by himself. God swore that the covenant would stand by his word. He swore. Amen. And there's no changing to it. In verse 18, it says that it is impossible for God to lie. This covenant is an everlasting covenant that he made with the nation of Israel through Abraham that is just as valid today as it was when it was made. And what does it tell you and me? Look at verse 19. This hope we have an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, which enters the presence behind the veil. If anything would allow the nation of Israel to be destroyed, then we would question the covenant relationship that we have with Jesus, because the first covenant failed. How do I know that this covenant will not fail? Well, that first covenant with Abraham is not going to fail, and you have an anchor for your soul in Jesus Christ, that if you have accepted Jesus Christ, you are sealed in heaven, and someday you will be forever with the Lord. Forever with Him. That is unmovable and unshakable. It will not change. So that covenant with Abraham, the Abrahamic covenant, is an everlasting covenant. Do you see, brother and sister, everything that has gone on in this world in regards to the Jewish people? Can you not see the spiritual forces that are at work to try to prove to you that you cannot take God at His word? That's what it comes down to. We can go all the way back to World War II and Hitler. He tried to eradicate and eliminate the Jewish people. We see them chanting today, the river to the sea. They want to eliminate and they want to eradicate the Jewish people. And what is it all about? It's all about that you can't trust God at His word. That's what it's about. But you can trust God at His word, because the nation of Israel is the only, listen to me, the nation of Israel is the only enduring nation in the world. Amen. You realize that? Turn in your Bible and show me America. It's not there. Turn me to the Bible and show me all these ancient cities that used to be there that are no longer there. But one group of people and one nation remains, and it is the nation of Israel, and it is here for everlasting. Remember, they are the chosen people. Chosen that through them the Messiah would come. Chosen that they would promote and lift up and lead people to the gospel of Jesus Christ. The nation of Israel will come back to God during the tribulation period. 144,000 will be raised up to witness and to testify. The whole thing is so you cannot believe that you cannot trust God. Turn with me to Ephesians 6:12. Ephesians 6:12. And you see that in Ephesians 6:12, you see the powers and the principalities and the powers of darkness that are at work in the world today, and they are working in the nation of Israel. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. In the garden, Satan used a serpent to deceive. Today, he is using Hamas, he's using ISIS, he's using Hezbollah, all Islamic terrorist group, all faces for the spiritual forces of darkness to deceive us in not believing the truth of God's word. To stand not only on the right side of history, but on the right side of God, we must, until we leave this earth, support and pray for the nation of Israel. It is a commandment. Much of the blessing, we're not going to have time to get to the Abrahamic covenant, but we'll go back to it next week, and we'll go back into Genesis, and we'll talk about what that covenant was and what that covenant looked like. But what does it say in that covenant? You will bless those that bless you, and you will curse those that curse you. I'm telling you today, and I believe it with all my heart, with my hand on the Bible, I believe that one of the main reasons that the United States of America has been blessed is because it supports the nation of Israel. Amen. And may that strength and may that support never waver. And we see it wavering in America today. What is our college kids being taught in college that all of a sudden the Jewish annihilation in World War II did not happen, and that we need to support the Palestinian people, and we're chanting from the river to the sea to eliminate the Jewish people? What is our nation of kids and young people being taught? Well, I can tell you, in Crossroads Gospel Church, our young people are being taught the truth of God's word, and this country needs to be taught the truth of God's word. Have you entered into a covenant relationship with God through Christ today. And if you have, it's set in stone. Satan's greatest weapon is deception. How has he deceived so many people in the world today of not accepting Jesus or not recognizing the spiritual battle that is going on in the heavenlies? For us to have this church planted here, we had to pray and come against the powers of darkness. That's what the battle was. It wasn't here on earth. It was in the heavenlies. We needed to come against the powers of darkness for God to plant this church here, for many people to come to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3 and 4, and we look at also at verse 5, he says, the adversary blinds the minds of the unbelievers so they cannot come to the knowledge of the truth. How many people in this world today are blinded to the truth and the reality of Jesus? When you go to 2 Corinthians, I'll go there. I wasn't going to go there, but I'll go there because this is a short message anyway. But 2 Corinthians chapter 4, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 3, it says, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3, but if our gospel is veiled, Old King James, I believe, says hid, it is veiled or hid to those who are perishing, whose mind, the God, you see with a small g, of this age has blinded, who do not believe unless the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ in the image of God should shine unto them. Now listen to verse 5. For we do not preach ourselves, but Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm not up here selling Amway. I'm not up here asking you to sign up to a prescription. I'm not even up here saying, won't you join and be a team member of our ministry by your support? And we're going to send you a note every month telling you how much that we think. I'm not selling anything. I'm not selling anything. Jesus Christ. To lift him up. Amen. To promote him. Jesus says, if I will be lifted up, I will draw everyone unto me. The focus of Crossroads Gospel Church and the focus in your life is to what? To lift up the name of Jesus. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we come before you today in the name of the Lord Jesus, and we thank you for your presence in this place. And we ask very short and very briefly, if there's anyone in this room that has not accepted Jesus as our Lord and Savior, they feel the stirring of the Holy Spirit in their life to respond to that Holy Spirit, I pray that in the name of Jesus, they will respond today. That today is the day of salvation. And I'd ask, while every eye is closed and every head is bowed, is there one here today that you feel that stirring of the Holy Spirit, that you feel him stirring to bring and to call you to him? Is God calling you to him today? Is he asking you to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? And would there be one by the signifying of the upraised hand? Pastor, I want you to pray with me. I want to commit my life to Jesus today. Would there be one? Father, we thank you for this time. We always ask the question. We don't want anybody to leave this place without knowing Jesus. That's our obligation and our duty, and we thank you for that. We pray that, Lord, as we leave this place, we lift up the nation of Israel. Father, it's not that we agree with everything they're doing and everything that's going on, but Lord, it's a commandment that we pray and we support the nation of Israel. We want to be blessed. We want America to be blessed. We pray that, Father, America's stance for Israel will not waver, but they will stand strong and they will stand true to the support of that nation and to that people. Father, we pray that as a people today, that we support Israel, and we pray that, Father, you would lift them up, you would bless them. I pray that, Father, you would drive the enemy from their borders, and we ask it today in Jesus' name. We pray that, Father, as we leave this place, may your blessings be upon each and every one of our lives and every one of our hearts, and we ask it all in Jesus' name, and everyone said, amen. Amen. We all agree together. We support the nation of Israel. Amen. Be blessed, everyone. Have a great day. Thank you.